shouts of Alleluia, of Hosanna, joining with the crowd as they greeted Jesus upon his entrance into Jerusalem. But as we continue traveling throughout this worship service, we also do so alongside Jesus. And so this morning, I invite you into the story of Jesus' final week as we prepare ourselves not only for Easter Sunday, but for this holy week ahead. We're going to read the story. We're going to walk alongside Jesus. And so, as you lean into the story, I invite you to sit up straight, get comfortable, but not too comfortable, as we prepare ourselves for Easter, for Holy Week, and for the Passion of Jesus the Christ. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him, but not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. So while Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another,
"Why this waste of perfume? Could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor."
Then Jesus said,
"Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you'll always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you'll not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him,
"Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
So Jesus sent two of his disciples, telling them,
"Go into the city. A man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there."
So the disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12, and while they were reclining at the table eating, he said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They were saddened, and one by one they said to him,
"Surely you don't mean me."
"It's one of the 12, the one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it's written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying,
"Take it. This is my body."
Then Jesus took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it.
"This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And there Jesus told them,
"You will all fall away, for it's written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee."
Peter declared,
"Even if all fall away, I will not."
But Jesus answered him,
"Truly I tell you, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times."
But Peter insisted emphatically,
"Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you."
And all the others said the same.
Jesus asked Peter, James, and myself to go further in the garden with him and pray, and we did. We tried. We kept falling asleep. Jesus kept waking us up. I remember one time he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's true. It's all a blur. And I think this whole mess got started because of Judas. Did he really think what he was doing was right?
As Jesus was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders.
There he is. He's the one you want, the one praying by himself. Now the others, they will come up and try to create some scene. But the one that I kiss on the cheek, that's the one you want. Now 30 pieces of silver, right? That's what we agreed upon? 30 pieces. Forget about the rest. The one that I kiss on the cheek, that's the one you want.
A kiss? Judas betrays Jesus with the kiss of a friend? And then it got crazy. Peter grabs a sword and he cuts off this guy's ear. And Jesus reached down and picked it up and put it right back on the guy's head as if nothing had happened. And then they took him. I'd love to tell you that we fought for him, but we didn't. Everyone ran. I'm so ashamed.
What have I done? What have I done? Was I so stupid to think that I've killed him? I've killed him. I've crucified Jesus.
They took Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and there he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against Jesus.
"We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days we'll build another, not made with hands.'"
Yet even then their testimony did not agree. The high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus,
Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?
But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him,
"Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?"
"I am,"
Jesus replied.
"And you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven."
The high priest tore his clothes.
"Why do we need any more witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?"
They all condemned him as worthy of death. Some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said,
"Prophecy!"
And the crowds took him and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him.
"You also were with that Nazarene Jesus."
But Peter denied it.
"I don't know or understand what you're talking about."
When a servant girl saw him, she said again to those standing around,
"This fellow is one of them."
Again, Peter denied it. After a little while, those standing near Peter said to him,
"Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean."
He began to call down curses, and he swore to them,
"I don't know what man you are talking about."
And immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him.
"Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times."
And Peter broke down and wept. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked,
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
"You've said so."
The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him,
"Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of?"
But Jesus made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did.
"Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?"
Pilate asked, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead.
"What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?"
"Crucify him," they shouted.
"Why? What sin has he committed?"
But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" And wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
"I crucified Jesus. It's what the crowd wanted, and that's what they got. And personally, I don't feel like that man did anything to deserve that, but I was just a soldier doing my job. When the governor gave his sentence, that's when I would go to work. I loved that job. I felt like I was administering justice every time I nailed someone to a tree. But that man didn't deserve that. Didn't make sense to me." I was stationed at Golgotha that day. We just raised the second criminal when they brought him to me. I'll never forget the way he looked. He'd been beaten, spit on, whipped. He was unrecognizable as a man. Hideous. What was left of his clothes were stripped off of him, and he was thrown down on the cross. That's when I went to work. Generally, when you crucify a man, the first hand is the most difficult. The criminal wants to get away. He fights you. So I would have two soldiers hold him down, but this guy, he didn't put up a fight. I just thought he was exhausted. As an executioner, I've been called every name in the book. I've had men yell at me, plead with me. But I wasn't prepared for that. He looked at us. He looked at me. And he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He forgave me. Surely, this man was the Son of God.
And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?"
Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said,
"Listen. He's calling Elijah."
Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it up to Jesus to drink.
"Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down."
With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last.